There's something strange that seems to happen on Christmas morning, something those of you who are parents will probably have noticed. And it's not how your teenage daughter, who sleeps in until past 8 o'clock every other morning, somehow manages to be up at 5 a.m. No, it's not that. That's certainly strange, but it's not what I'm thinking of in particular. This is it. Your 1 or 2 year old gets a beautifully wrapped present. Inside is a gift that you've carefully selected. It's educationally sound. It passes the Australian standards for safety. It's fun. It's age appropriate, in his favourite colour. And when he finally opens the wrapping paper and opens the box, he takes one look at the present, throws it aside and starts playing with the wrapping. Oh, I don't know whether that ever happens. In fact, the wrapping amuses this little 1 or 2 year old for the rest of the day. There's the paper that's so colourful and bright, and it makes a great noise when you scrunch it up and you rip it into a million pieces. And then there's the big box that's perfect for hiding in, and if it comes with any bubble wrap, then that's countless hours of fun as well. Who cares about the present? A child's view of Christmas is getting preoccupied with the wrapping and forgetting about the present. And yet it's not only kids who have this problem, who become preoccupied with the wrapping and forget about the present. You see, most of us adults do it as well. Christmas is so busy. We wrap it with so many extras. We wrap it up with so many traditions and expectations and events. There's the end-of-year breakup events. Malcolm was telling me he's been to about 15 Christmas parties in the last month. There's the family get-together things. There's the holiday things. There's the food things. The hospitality things. The shopping things. The buying presents for anyone who might possibly buy you one thing. There's so much wrapping around Christmas that we forget about the present. We forget about the gift, the reason for the season. So let's not have a child's view of Christmas this year. Let's take a few moments to put aside the wrapping and remember again the wonder of the greatest gift the world has ever seen, that God would send his only Son, wrap him in a human body, to live among us, to die among us, to bring us back to God. It's such an extraordinary event, so unexpected, so out of the blue, it should make us shake our heads in amazement. It should make us forget about the wrapping and offer ourselves afresh to God in gratitude at the enormity of his gift. It certainly amazed Mary. Put yourself in her shoes. She couldn't get her head around the news. There she was, going about life as normal, when the angel visits. Wow! Maybe we should continue the kids' talk. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, just before the one that was read for us this morning, the angel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." And we read, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, it's not so much the greeting. The greeting's probably fairly standard, but it's probably the fact that it's coming from an angel, I'm guessing, that troubles her. But that was nothing compared to the rest of the angel's message. Chapter 1, verse 30, the angel continues, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You've found favour with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, I wonder, lots of great news in that, wasn't there? Lots of extraordinary wow news, but I wonder if she really took much in beyond that second sentence, "You'll be with child." I don't know what it was like for you when you first found out that you were pregnant. Shock, surprise, excitement, joy, fear, all of the above. Well, Mary obviously would have doubled and tripled those emotions. But even that sentence, it's just the beginning of the surprises, of the wows for Mary. God was coming to visit, but not through an angel or a prophet's words, not through a burning bush or a pillar of fire. God was coming to visit Mary, and she would have a baby. And he would be called not Son of Mary, but Son of the Most High, God's Son. But not just that, he would be a son who would be king, who would reign over a kingdom that never ends. And even when it comes to his name, there was more for Mary to marvel at. Mary was to call him Jesus, which in Hebrew is Yeshua or Joshua, and it means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Jesus was going to be a saviour, as Pierre told us in the kids' talk. And as we see, as the story unfolds, we see more of the same theme over into chapter 2. That's the passage we read. Joseph and Mary, they travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Mary has the baby. And then when the shepherds come into the story, we see more wow. We see more angels and more about a saviour. The shepherds are out in the fields. An angel appears and says, I've got great news. A saviour's been born, the one that God's promised. Saviour. It's not really a word that we use a lot these days. We save, I guess. We think about saving, maybe more to do with us saving something, like us saving money at the Christmas sales. Perhaps the closest we get to using the word saviour is maybe when we go to the beach and we see life savers, which is really the same thing, I guess. They're saviours or rescuers. And perhaps that's a better word to use, that Jesus came to rescue us. If he came to rescue us, it would mean that we need rescuing, which really would be a wonderful gift. People who've been rescued are so grateful for the gift that they've been given. Perhaps you saw on the news the footage of those hostages who managed to escape from the Martin Place coffee shop during last week. The looks on their faces as they ran petrified out the fire door into the safe arms of the police officer. And then they were whisked around the corner to safety, the complete relief and joy at having been saved. That's a very unusual situation, though, isn't it, in Australia? But as we look around us in Australia, most people are not in a life-threatening situation they need rescuing from. And I think that's part of the reason that we've been so shocked by these two events in the last month or so. Phil Hughes' tragic death and then this siege. That life is so safe for us. We don't need rescuing. What do we need rescuing from? What do we need a saviour for? Matthew's gospel, which we didn't read, but tells us about another visit by an angel to Joseph, Mary's husband. We don't know whether it's the same angel or not, but this angel gives Joseph a few more of the details. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the angel says this to Joseph, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, once again, because he will save his people from their sins. Just like Pierre mentioned in the kids' talk. He'll sit on David's throne, but not just that, he'll save people from their sins. Save them from the power of their sins. Save them from the penalty for their sins, which is something we all need. Because not only do we have a child's view of Christmas, we have a child's view about God. Many people, when it comes to God, stick their fingers in their ears and don't want to know. They pretend that he's not there. Or if they do acknowledge that he's there, they want nothing to do with him. They'd rather live life their way. They'd rather be God than let God be God. And God says that attitude has consequences. That rebellion, that wanting to ignore God. Rebellion like that ends up in God's judgment and separation from him. So that's something we all need saving from, rescuing from. And that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus, the one whose name means the Lord saves. Because God's amazing rescue plan involved Jesus not simply being born, but dying in our place. And God chooses to count the death of Jesus as acceptable punishment for our rebellion. And instead of offering us judgment, he offers us forgiveness. That's the greatest Christmas gift ever. And that all we need to do is to take it, to accept his offer of rescue, of forgiveness. to thank him for his gift, to ask for God's help to live our future life with him in charge. That's the gift we celebrate at Christmas, the greatest gift. When you peel away the wrapping, the ribbon and the tinsels and the paper, when we take away the box and throw it away, there it is, the gift that Jesus will save people from sin. That's great news. It's news worth rejoicing over. It's news worth spreading. That's what the shepherds did. They spread that news. They visited Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And then in verse 17, they went out spreading that amazing news. And then in verse 20, we read that they went back to their lives. They went back to their lives, feeding sheep, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen. That's how we should respond. That's how we should not have a child's view of Christmas. Once Christmas is over and the excitement dies down and the wrapping ends up in the bin, we should go back to our everyday life and live in a way that gives thanks to Jesus who saves us from sin and to God who provides us, who provides him as the best, the most generous, the most useful Christmas gift ever. That's the way for us not to have a child's view of Christmas. The way to get the most, to make the most of the gift, rather than focusing on the wrapping. Might that be our experience this year? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We pray that you would be working in us, that we might rejoice and recognise the wonder of him, that it may not just be a one-day thing, but it might be something which affects our whole lives, that we might give him the honour that he deserves. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.